Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1999. Our revolutionary right.
Hello. Usually in these American Distant Voices broadcasts, I address myself to all interested people of European ancestry, regardless of their ideology or personal inclinations. Today I want to speak only to people who consider themselves racial nationalists, white nationalists, and who understand the concept of personal responsibility. If you don't already have a strong sense of European racial identity and a conviction that every adult man and woman of our race has an unavoidable responsibility for the survival and welfare of the race, then you should tune to another station now. If you're a libertarian, or an egalitarian, or a liberal, or if you're some sort of right-wing intellectual dilettante who likes to observe what's happening but feels no sense of obligation to participate personally, to make any personal sacrifice or take any personal risk, then you won't be interested in what I have to say today, and you probably will find it offensive. So just tune out, because I won't be speaking to you anyway. You know, it's not enough for patriots to shake their heads in disapproval over this shameful thing which their government has done to Serbia. It's not enough to say, well, I was against the war from the beginning. I didn't vote for Clinton. If you are an adult citizen of the United States or of the United Kingdom, you are responsible for what your government does, whether you approve or not. Even our enemies understand that. It was in accord with that principle of a citizen's responsibility for the actions of his government that Serb schools and hospitals have been pounded into rubble. Serb women and children were murdered wholesale because Bill Clinton and Tony Blair didn't approve of the policies of their government. When the bombs and missiles came, it didn't help them to proclaim that they were in favor of multiculturalism all along and that they were against ethnic cleansing. Their government refused to take orders from the New World Order gang, and so they were killed by NATO's mercenaries. If you're an Englishman or a Scot or a Welshman, you can say that you're against NATO's genocide in Serbia. You can say that you don't believe in waging war against another country except in self-defense. You can say that you never voted for Tony Blair or his party. But you still are morally responsible for what that mincing, prancing, smirking little piece of filth who heads your government does. And if you're a white American, you can't blame Bill Clinton and his policies on the 400-pound welfare moms who voted for him. You can't even blame the murder of our fellow white men and women in Serbia on Madeleine Albright and Jamie Rubin and Sandy Berger and William Cohen and Richard Holbrooke and the other Jews who give Clinton his orders. This was our country. It was our government. And if we sat on our hands while the Jews took it away from us, it is our fault. It is our responsibility to take this government down and to establish a decent one in its place. It is our responsibility to take the franchise away from the welfare moms and to take the media away from the Jews and to cleanse our society of them. In his first inaugural address, on March 4th, 1861, Abraham Lincoln said, and I quote, "Whenever the people who inhabit this country shall grow weary of the existing government, they can exercise their constitutional right of amending it or their revolutionary right to dismember or overthrow it." You know, rights never stand alone. They always entail responsibilities. And in particular, that last right mentioned by Lincoln is accompanied by the inescapable responsibility to exercise it when it becomes appropriate to do so. And when our constitutional right of amending the government has, in effect, been taken away from us by the subversion of the democratic process in the Clinton era, the appropriate time has arrived. When a mass of slobs, instructed and guided by Jewish media bosses, are able to determine the outcome of elections, then it is time to stop voting and turn to other means. People tell me, oh, you must not advocate doing anything illegal. My answer to them is that I have been a law-abiding man all my life. I believe in law and order. I believe that we must have a society governed strictly by laws, not by mobs, or by any tyrant's whims of the moment, or by any clever tribe of alien manipulators who have gained control of our mass media. But does anyone really believe that we have a society governed by laws today? Let us remember that we are living now in the era of O.J. Simpson and Bill Clinton. We have laws on the books, and we have police and courts which have the theoretical responsibility for enforcing those laws. And when it is politically correct to do so, they will. In reality, what we have today is the illusion of a lawful society, the pretense of justice and accountability under the law, and not much of a pretense at that. We have a government which commits mass murder at home without so much as an apology, as when the Clinton administration slaughtered nearly 100 members of the Branch Davidian Church in Waco in 1993 because they refused to surrender, and which bombs hospitals and schools in Serbia without apology today because the Serbs also refused to surrender. In each case, the only justification has been force. We're bigger than you, and so you must do what we say or we'll kill you. The Clinton government launches an unprovoked and undeclared war against another country and demands that the president of the country that is attacked be tried as a war criminal while the attackers run free. We obey the laws of the U.S. government today not because of any moral obligation to do so, but because the government is stronger than we are, and we are not yet ready to take up arms against it. Other people tell me that whatever solution we seek to the problems our people are facing today must be a solution without violence. And my response to that is that I am a peaceful man. All my adult life, I have been a scholar and a teacher, never a man of violence. But look at the behavior of our opponents. All they know is violence and coercion and murder. I do not want violence, and I am determined to avoid it as long as I can. I certainly do not want to provoke violence when we are not strong enough to match the violence of our enemies. But let us not make the avoidance of violence any sort of moral principle, because in the long run it cannot be avoided. Our guiding principle is that our people must live and must be free, and in the long run we will do whatever we must do to ensure that. It is clear that more than talk will be required. And I must tell you that I am disappointed and worried by the tendency I see in our people today to do nothing but talk, and many are unwilling even to do that. I see too much passivity in our people, too much willingness to tolerate evil, too much reluctance to take action when action is justified. There has hardly been a situation which called for action more than the Clinton government's murderous attack against Serbia. Why did American patriots offer so little protest to this? Clinton and the Jewish gang around him not only have murdered thousands of our fellow Europeans in Serbia while we sat on our hands, They dishonored America in doing so. This was not just an attack on Serbia. It was an attack on America as well. This was a case of the common enemies of Serbia and America using American military and economic resources against Serbia now with the plan to use them against America in the future. If the New World Order gang successfully compels everyone to toe the line, it will be American freedom which will be sacrificed as well as Serb freedom. Clinton and his Jewish gang are the enemies of every person on this earth who loves freedom. So don't tell me that you believe in freedom if you failed to take a stand against the Clinton government's war. I am sure that if Americans were more manly in their behavior and their thinking, we would not have gotten ourselves into the situation where we must contemplate revolutionary action against the government. If we had only the courage to speak out in a straightforward way against evil and injustice and corruption, to stand up as a matter of course for what we believe in, we could have avoided much of the need for violence in the future. I hear often from university graduates and others who explain to me that they are forced to be politically correct, that they cannot say what they believe because it might jeopardize their careers. They tell me that later, after they have acquired a greater degree of financial independence, when their careers are more secure, then they will speak out. Then they will not be afraid to tell people what they believe. Then they will be ready for action. My opinion is that grown men who lack the courage to stand up for what they believe in now, when the Clinton government, through its policies and its actions, makes the distinction between good and evil so sharp and clear, these men never will have the courage that a man ought to have. This willful destruction of Serbia, the murder of her citizens by the New World Order gang, acting in our name and using our armed forces as their mercenaries, when the Serbs have not threatened or harmed us in any way, is something so evil, so alarming, so provocative, that it is difficult for me to understand how any intelligent, perceptive, and morally responsible adult American or Briton can just go on about his daily affairs as if nothing is happening. This is not a theoretical discussion. This is armed aggression against our kinsmen. This is the mass murder of our kinsmen. This willful shedding of the blood of the Serbs calls for the shedding of the blood of the aggressors. This willful killing of Serb women and children calls for the killing of those who planned and ordered this war. If ever there was justification for the overthrow of a government, this is it. If ever there was a moral imperative to act, this is it. Please do not misunderstand me. I am not calling for any blind, impulsive action for the sake of action, for the sake of making the actor feel good. I don't want anyone to go out and blow something up just to show his dislike of the Clinton government. I am calling for a deliberate, clear-headed decision now on the part of every American patriot to begin a course of careful, planned, and coordinated action aimed at destroying America's domestic enemies and regaining complete and permanent control of our own country, so that the New World Order gang cannot do to Americans what they have done to the Serbs. If we do that in America, then I have confidence that patriotic Britons can deal appropriately with Bambi and his cabinet of Jews and homosexuals, that patriotic Russians can send Boris Yeltsin and Boris Abramovich Berezovsky and the rest of that crew to their just reward, and that the remaining members of the New World Order gang and their willing collaborators can be hunted down and dealt with wherever they may try to hide. I'll be more specific. I'm calling for patriots to join forces with me in the National Alliance, to help me reach out to others, to continue building our strength until we can do what must be done. You know, I said a minute ago that it's hard for me to understand how any intelligent and perceptive patriot can remain uninvolved when the U.S. government is doing something as criminal as the deliberate and unprovoked destruction of a sovereign nation, which in no way is our enemy. Let me back off a bit from that statement. I believe that part of the problem is that many patriots, despite their intelligence, are too credulous. They let themselves be hypnotized, or at least confused, by the controlled news media. And the confusion results in moral paralysis and inaction, which is what is intended. When the television cameras focus on some little Albanian girl who finally has been reunited with her family after becoming separated and lost when the family fled to a refugee camp in Macedonia 2 months ago, one cannot help but feel sympathy for the plight of the refugees. One cannot help but want to see an end to their misery and discomfort. But the television cameras do not show us the bleeding body of the little Serb girl killed by a NATO bomb. And of course, the news commentators do not tell us that the family of the little Albanian girl who was lost for 2 months fled from their home and became refugees because of the NATO bombing. The commentator implies that it was Slobodan Milosevic rather than Madeleine Albright who made refugees of the family, whereas in fact well over 90% of the refugees were caused by Albright's bombing, not by Milosevic's ethnic cleansing. The news coverage, in other words, has been slanted so as to generate sympathy for the Albanians and hostility toward the Serbs and to undermine the average American viewer's opposition to the war. This slanting is calculated and deliberate. Another example and a prediction. The so-called Kosovo Liberation Army, the KLA, started the conflict in Kosovo in the first place by attempting to drive the Serbs out of the province, take it away from Serbia, and make it a part of Albania. It was because of KLA terrorism against Serbs that Milosevic was forced to take strong measures last year against the KLA and its Albanian sympathizers in Kosovo. He had whipped the KLA and was bringing the situation under control when Albright and other members of the Clinton gang used the Serb police action against the KLA as an excuse for starting their war, claiming that the war was to protect Albanians from ethnic cleansing by the Serbs. Now a rearmed KLA, supported by NATO troops, is preparing to move back into Kosovo and resume an even more brutal terror campaign against the Serbs. The official NATO spokesman, Jamie Shea, whose smearing and viciously biased commentary we've been hearing throughout the war, said at the beginning of this week, and I quote, "As the Serb forces pull out and the NATO forces move into Kosovo, we expect the Kosovo Liberation Army not to try to take advantage of the situation. More specifically, we hope the Kosovo Liberation Army will renounce violence." End of quote. That's exactly what the NATO spokesman said. He hopes that the KLA, which is largely a gang of cutthroats and gangsters, will renounce violence and not try to take advantage of the situation. It's clear that a lot of Serbs are going to get their throats cut during the next few days. But you can bet your bottom dollar that the controlled news media in the United States will not be showing you any heart-rending views of the victims, and Madeleine Albright won't be making any statements about the need to protect the Serbs from ethnic cleansing by the Albanians. During the next few weeks, in fact, the media will manage to make many of our more thoughtless fellow citizens proud that we whipped the Serbs. We won the war. We showed them. The Serbs lost, and now they must pay the price of defeat. Vae victis. In America, we have come a long way from the time when our third president, Thomas Jefferson, wrote, and I quote, "If there be one principle more deeply rooted than any other in the mind of every American, it is that we should have nothing to do with conquest." And those two great humanitarians, Bill Clinton and Tony Blair, will be grinning and posturing for the TV cameras while the Serbs are being butchered behind the scenes. And you know, it will be our fault, because it will have been our government which made it possible for the KLA to butcher the Serbs. KLA terrorists will be doing the raping and wielding the knives, but because we tolerated the monstrosity of a government we have in Washington, we obeyed the monster, we served it, we did not pull it down soon enough, because of this, we are responsible. I'll give you one more example, much closer to home, of the way in which the media bosses keep Americans confused about what is happening in the world and thereby paralyze their will to take appropriate action. I am sure that you remember the killing of a black ex-convict in Jasper, Texas, last summer. Three white ex-convicts had been drinking one night. They gave a ride to a black ex-convict they knew, and then they killed him by dragging him behind their pickup truck. We have hardly had any bigger media circus than the one the controlled news media organized for us in connection with that killing. They painted it as a uniquely horrible crime. It was a wonderful opportunity for them to make the more impressionable elements of the white population feel guilty for being white and to beat the drums for a federal hate crime law. So, rather than spoil the effect of the Jasper killing, the media bosses completely suppressed the news of another dragging murder. This other murder happened just 2 months after the Jasper murder. Last August 1st, a 26-year-old black ex-convict, Christopher Coleman, dragged a 46-year-old white woman, Patricia Stansfield, to her death near the little Illinois town of Straithor. The black stole a car belonging to a friend of Patricia Stansfield and dragged the white woman 2 miles along Illinois State Road 18 from Straithor into the countryside, while she screamed and pleaded for her life as her body bounced and scraped along the pavement. I would have told you about this sooner, but the media bosses blacked out the news of this murder so completely that there wasn't even anything about it on the Internet. I had to have a friend to get the details from a small-town newspaper, the Pantograph, in nearby Bloomington, Illinois. The murder trial of the black has been set for July 12th. But hey, don't count on seeing anything about it in your newspaper or on your television screen next month. Just as the murder of Serbs by KLA terrorists doesn't fit, this dragging murder of a white woman by a black doesn't fit either. So again, I appeal to every man and woman of honor, every man and woman of principle, every man and woman with a sense of responsibility and patriotism. Let us not permit this to continue. Let us take down this government. Let us take back our news and entertainment media. Let us wage war on America's domestic enemies until we have prevailed. Let us drive the New World Order gang out of our country. Join me in speaking out. Join me in reaching out to other patriots. Join me in building a revolution which can cleanse America. Thanks for being with me again today.